Today's program is brought to you by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest level of veterinary care to pets throughout the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and surrounding areas since its founding in 2008. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to the last episode of Animal Instinct for the season here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today we're talking about animal communication with Karen Kruger. Karen is a certified in many types of healing modalities and is a certified equine body worker through Equinology and the Upledger Institute. Karen is a practitioner in Reiki, quantum touch, cranial sacral therapy for people and pets, Chinese energetic medicine, T-touch for dogs and horses, and animal communication. She uses animal communication in her work. We're going to discuss what it is, how it works, and all sorts of other cool stuff relating to it. Hey, Karen, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Celia. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Really good.
Thank you so much for coming back to the show. I'm really excited about this topic.
Well, I love being here. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. So, we're talking about animal communication today. So, let's start off with the basics. What does that really mean?
I'm sorry?
What does animal communication really mean?
Well, it's a way of communicating with animals non-verbally. So you're communicating telepathically. And it's something that can be sensed through words, it can be sensed through feelings, pictures, smells, taste. It just depends on how you receive the information and how they're sending the information.
And so do you have animals that contact you for help, or how does this work?
Well, typically the owners contact me. Because they need answers, they'd like to get some kind of insight on what's happening with their animals.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, they're either injured or something's happened and the owner wants to know what happened, or sometimes it's an emotional problem. They don't understand why their animal is acting a certain way, their pet, horse, dog, is acting a certain way. And so sometimes when I tune in, I can get a picture or a sense or a feeling of what could be causing it. Other times it could be an animal that's a pet that's been adopted and had past trauma, and that's relating to, or even like horses in training could have had some type of traumatic event through their training experience, and that's coming through as a behavioral problem.
Mm-hmm. And so do they always communicate in a language that you're able to understand?
I'm sorry, Celia?
Are they able to communicate in a language that you understand? For example, if you're working on an animal, let's say in China, can you understand what's going on?
Absolutely, because it's a universal language. Feelings, taste, pictures, as all, it's a universal language. So I don't need to actually know the language of the country that they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a sense of what's happening. So, So how do we communicate with an animal that when I'm in California and they're in China? What happens is a thought is created or a feeling is created,
mm-hmm.
and it's transmitted long distance through like radio waves. And so I'm the transmitter asking the question. The pet is the receiver,
mm-hmm.
and they get that, my question, and because they're open receivers, they're wonderful. They're clear channels for communication, and then they transmit their information back to me. And when you have your mind is quiet,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have a lot of talk going on in your head, you can be a really good receiver for information, especially when you set the intention. Sometimes sometimes you don't even have to set the intention. Sometimes you can just be sitting, not thinking anything, and all of a sudden something pops in your head and you go, whoa, where did that come from, you know? So sometimes they can communicate without even without you having to ask them for information. They just they have something they want to tell you.
And so do animals seem to know that you can understand them before you even start working on them?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Do you ever get messages from animals that you're not working on?
I'm sorry, Celia. The connection's a little bit...
Oh, no problem. Do you get messages from animals that you're not working on ever?
No, because I don't know. You mean like all of a sudden I'll get a message? No, not typically. I did do an experiment one time. I went to a dog show because I wanted to see if I could, I was in my early days of communication, I wanted to see who I could, you know, who would like to, who I could open open up a conversation with. And a lot of the dogs were, you know, they're there to do a job. They weren't pets. They're not there as pets. They're there to do a job. They're breed, you know, they're for breeding purposes and that. But there was this little hairless chihuahua that came walking down the aisle towards me, and she was just, oh, my gosh. She was just like, I'm a star. I'm a star. I'm a star. You could just see it written all over her face, and she was, I'm a star. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is adorable. So I went over to the owners, and I said, can I ask what her name is? And they said, oh, her name's Star.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, my gosh. And I said, wow, she's so cute. I said, does she live with you? Oh, yeah, she sleeps on the bed with us. She's, you know, part of the family. So you could just tell, I think, when animals are a part of a human or have a close human connection, I think they're much more open to communicating than animals that aren't that close to, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but I think they adopt a lot of human characteristics the more involved in the family they are.
Do you think animals are more tuned energetically than humans are?
I don't know that they're more in tune. I think they're just a more of an open, clear channel for it because they don't have any preconceptions. On, like, I was explaining to my horseshoer one day, my farrier, I was explaining about the work I do, and he goes, oh, that's placebo. And I said, animals don't have placebo. Yeah. They don't know whether something's going to work or not. They don't have any preconceptions. They don't have any preconceived ideas about whether something's going to work. They don't have any belief systems or, you know, all the things that we've been indoctrinated with.
Yeah, totally.
You know? And so they don't have that placebo effect. So they're a clear channel. One, you know, open, clear. Some animals like to communicate more than others, just like people. Some are talkers and some aren't.
Have you ever had a client that refused to speak with you?
I don't know that they refused to speak with me. I just couldn't get a real good... I couldn't get a real good connection with them. I don't know what was causing the block, but see, with the type of animal communication I do is more to get an idea of what's going on and what a problem could be, and it's not, I don't do it for entertainment purposes.
Right.
You know, I have incorporated it into my work because it gave me the ability to get a better idea of what's going on with the animals. Do you want me to give an example of that?
Yeah, I would love you to.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, for instance, I was having some lameness issues with my horse, and I had just taken classes on animal communication, and I I didn't feel that I was really that adept at it, mm-hmm. but I was just sitting at the barn one day. I was sitting down at my barn, and I wasn't thinking about anything. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about even my horse's problem. I was just sitting there, just resting, and all of a sudden, I heard in my head, my shoes are too small. And I heard it like a voice. I heard it like somebody was actually talking to me. Mm-hmm. I went, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, really.
What did I just hear? And I go, I stood up and I looked at my horse's stall and I said, was that you? And I got it again very clearly. My shoes are too small. And then he showed me a picture. It looked like pinching.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, okay, so that's what the problem was. You know, I was thinking that might be the problem. So I called the vet. He came out, and I showed him a picture of my fingers all squished together. And I said, this is what his feet feel like, like all squished together. And he said, well, we'll take a look. You know, so he took x-rays, did a nerve block, did all that, couldn't find anything.
Wow.
And had the farrier, my new farrier, come out, made an appointment. He came out, took one look, and he said, his shoes are too small.
Meanwhile, the horse is like, I told you.
I know. I wanted to say it so bad. Yes, I know. My horse told me. But I know they would look at me like I had two heads and, you know. But anyway, but that's an example of where, you know, he just told me. I mean, it was, and I guess I had already opened myself to the possibility of animal communication. I had just never experienced it like that, you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had it quite like that again, that clear. I mean, he does not talk to me all the time. He really doesn't. He doesn't, you know, it's not like I go down to the barn and I hear him say, hi, Mom. You know, like, he just had something he had to tell me, and he just did his best in telling me,
it's,
you know.
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really important, apparently. You know, it was,
yes.
Just help me fix my shoes.
Yeah, so that's an example of where I wasn't expecting it,
mm-hmm.
and it was only that one time, and I've owned this horse for 24 years.
Wow.
So, and that was the only time that's ever actually happened. But with other animals, and people, I really truly believe that people can do this with their own pets, and
mm-hmm.
I think they do with their own pets on some level. And it doesn't happen, like I said, it only happened that one time with me, but it was important. It was an important message.
Very important, and it was definitely enough for him to try to get the point across, you know, and fortunately
exactly.
He did, because he saved you a fortune in vet bills of just more tests and, you know, all of it, and he just needed to get his shoes changed.
And frustration, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So then there was another time where I was working on, quite a few years later, just not too long ago, about a year or so ago, I had a client in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Who had a horse with an acute respiratory problem, and they were doing breathing treatments, but they wanted me to see if I could figure out what was causing the respiratory problem. And so as soon as I telepathically asked Debbie what was causing this respiratory problem, it smelled like my house was filled with smoke.
Wow.
I could not believe how strong the smell was. I even got up and looked outside to see if there was a fire somewhere.
Wow.
Because the smell was overwhelming. And I realized, okay, this isn't me, it's her. She's telling me it was a fire. So I asked the owner, I said, was she in a fire?
Mm-hmm.
Or was there a fire close by or something? And she said, oh yeah, they burned the strawberry fields right across the street, across the road. It was a huge strawberry field, and they burned the plastic that covers the rows of strawberries. And so the smell was, you know, it must have really affected her with that. You know, people just figure, oh, it's just a horse or it's just an animal. We can go in the house, you know, but they can't.
Yeah.
So they were doing breathing treatments on her and acupuncture, and it was helping, but I think they just wanted to get a better idea of what
what they were dealing with. Totally. Wow. Well, Karen, we need to take a quick break for station identification, but we will be back in 1 minute, so stay tuned.
Sure.
Animal Instinct is brought to you today by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. Since 2008, Brooklyn Cares has been providing exceptional veterinary care to pets throughout Brooklyn, New York. Led by doctors Timothy Mann and Stephanie Liff, the practice advocates a gentle, holistic approach to caring for your pet and offers an impressive breadth of basic and advanced healthcare services for your dog or cat. This modern practice, conveniently located in the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, is fully equipped with state-of-the-art equipment to ensure that your pet receives the highest quality care, regardless of whether they're sick or injured, or simply visiting for annual wellness checkup. For more information, visit BrooklynCaresVet.com.
Hey, you're listening to Beast in Air, Beast in Water by Snowmine.
You and me were both the same. Chance you'd wanna be free. Aside from food and sleep, I know we can't find time to teach the old ways to the young and keep our story.
Penny De Los Santos, I'm a photographer, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Feed your head.
And we are back. I'm talking to Karen Kruger. We're talking about animal communication. Karen, question for you. Is there a common message that you hear from animals?
It just depends. A lot of times owners want to know if they're, the most common question I get from owners is wanting to know whether their animals love them or not.
Oh, you're kidding.
And so when I ask, you know, when I ask their pets, about that, I get this sense of the heart swelling and, you know, the feeling of joy and happiness and gratitude. That's what I get because the owners that come to me and they want to know, they obviously love their yeah. pets, and their pets know that, and they just want to show them back that, yes, I love you and I'm grateful and thank you for giving me such a good home and loving me. You know, that's the sense I get from them. So yes, that's probably one of the most common questions I have.
I'm really surprised by that. It's most of the people that they've heard that I'm doing a show on animal communication, their big thing is, you know, oh, I got this rescue and I want to know what happened to this rescue before I got him. That's usually the question. That's the big one that everyone said to me. Like, you know, if you're taking questions, ask this. And I think that those are good as well, but I know that there are cases where that we talked about in the past about animals coming from such a bad situation that they don't even want to talk about it. They just kind of want to appreciate where they are in the now.
Exactly. They're in the now. Most animals are in the now. They don't want to dwell on what happened in the past. Yeah, I might get a sense of fear. I might get a sense. And you know, My work is more geared toward the healing side of it.
Yeah.
So I don't, a lot of time, I don't focus a lot on the animal community. I think what I'm getting is messages that, you know, to help me in helping them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I might get a sense of, with a dog that's come from an abusive situation, I might get pictures of being kicked or mm-hmm. being hit or small children or something that was terrifying to them, mm. you know. But that might help explain why they're afraid of brooms or they're afraid of feet or, you know,
yeah.
something like that. But a lot of times they don't want to talk about it. I've just thought of a time when I did work on, I was working on a horse for a client that had a back problem, and while I was working on the horse, I got to that particular spot, and I got a very clear picture of him falling down a hill out of an arena that the trainer was doing something with him, and he fell down the slope, and just as soon as I got that picture, he kicked the wall. He was, he still had that memory and he still had that anger.
Wow.
Because he thought it was really unfair. But once we got through that, I mean, it was just an instant. I mean, the owner was shocked that he reacted that strongly, but I said it was a picture he showed me of falling down this hill, and
wow.
he didn't think it was fair. And and then it was over with. Was like in just a matter of, you know, 10-15 seconds, it was boom, it was done.
Wow.
And then he went back to being his little happy self. But I think he needed to heal that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He had to
totally. It reminds me of, you know, when humans go through trauma, and if you like have an injury, let's say you break your arm, you know, and then there's a muscle memory in there from where the injury happened. So it seems like you were able to release that for him.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's a memory, and sometimes it can be a physical, emotional, it can, you know, have a lot tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's something, I found this with people too, especially if it's some type of a traumatic injury
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, when you're out having fun and you get hurt, it's not a big deal. Yeah, no, it's not, you know, it you could still hurt, but you don't have that emotional tie to it. But if you were physically assaulted by somebody and you had that injury, that physical assault memory is going to hold a lot more trauma for you,
mm-hmm.
and it probably lasts longer.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Wow. So are there certain breeds of animals that talk more than others?
Are there certain
breeds?
Types of animals?
Yeah, like do birds talk more than cats, or, you know, do mice?
I have not found that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of communicate in their own little way. Some have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of tell the practical jokers, you know. So, they definitely, dogs have a sense of humor. I've seen horses have a sense of humor. I mean, it comes through sometimes when I'm trying to communicate with them. It's like their sense of humor will come through. It's really funny.
That's funny.
They'll show me things that they do. Yeah, I like stealing, you know, like, you know, the owner will go down. They'll show me a picture of taking something off that, you know, like pulling on their shirt or, you know, stealing something and running off with it. You know, oh, yeah, they think that's funny. Yeah.
It's
and
so
I'll
cute.
Ask. I'll ask the owner. Do they do this or this? And they'll say, "Yes, they do." And I go, "Well, they're just joking with you."
I love it. So, do the animals ever give you messages? Like, have you ever received a message from anyone that you were working on that you didn't know about, like regarding your own life?
Oh, did I get a message from an animal about me?
Yeah.
No, you know, I never have. I have not had that experience. Now, there might be other people who have. Mm-hmm. I have not gotten any... now you made me start thinking. I don't recall ever getting anything that was like a warning or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or any kind of a message. No. Maybe other people have. I mean, they... Like I said, my intention with animal communication is more from the healing side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so how does that, like, when you're doing diagnostic work and stuff, do you usually know what's going on when you go in, or are you ever in on just, you know, this horse isn't acting right, we just don't know what it is?
Sometimes it can be, you know, sometimes I'll ask if they've had a diagnosis made. Sometimes they want me to see if I can get some kind of an idea, because it's whatever the condition is, it's evading the veterinarian or, you know, whoever's doing the diagnostics. They can't find anything specifically wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I'm at a loss there. sometimes I'll ask, sometimes I don't know. It just kind of depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my messages aren't super clear, you know, sometimes it takes interpretation. So sometimes animal communicators can't be 100% right.
Yep.
You know, I'd never claim that I'm 100% right on something.
I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, two people having a conversation, and then you stop it, and then you ask them what would each other one said, and they're not getting it right either. So, you know, it's not that unusual.
Yeah, because see, and that conversation, you're actually using words, right?
Exactly, and you're still not getting it right. You know, there's so many different ways to interpret things, and that's something like animal communication has always fascinated me, and it has for a long time. And I've been wanting to get into it. And the thing is I'm always worried, because I never stop thinking, that I'm just going to overinterpret anything I get, you know? So for me, it's about learning how to simplify and stop the monkey mind in order to listen. But I love the fact that anyone can learn how to do this.
Anyone can, absolutely. There are animal communication books. There are some animal communicators that do give... lessons on learning animal communication. But, you know, just for me to simplify it, it would be using your imagination. Imagining, so how you would communicate with, like, say, your cat or your dog,
mm-hmm.
that you would imagine, what would they tell me? Just imagine, what would they say to me? If they could say something to me, what would they say to me?
Mm-hmm.
And just be quiet. And listen, and imagine, what would they say? And just be quiet and listen. And a lot of times, you'll get things. You'll even hear a voice, or you'll feel something, or sense something. Sometimes a feeling will come over you, and you go, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" Just trust it. Just trust that it's coming from what. You're setting the intention of asking a question and imagining that they could talk to you, what would they say to you, and then listening. And sometimes they just need that little bit of encouragement that, wow, you're really going to listen to what I'm saying instead of just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, meow, meow, bark, bark, yeah, yeah. And they hear us go, wah, 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 wah.
Totally.
So to really listen, it's just, you know, setting that intention of, yeah, I really want to hear what you have to say, and just imagine if they could talk to you either in words, pictures, feelings, smells, taste, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine them and what they would show you.
That's cool.
And
I like that.
Yeah, it's really just, you know, and not feeling stupid while you're doing that.
That's the hard part. The hard part, too, is being like, am I thinking this or is this actually happening? You know, so that's
exactly.
where the trust comes in.
Yeah, and you just have to trust. You just have to trust. If you ask that question again and you get the same answer, that's when I go, okay, I've gotten the same answer twice now. I've gotten the same feeling twice.
Yep.
So I don't think it's me, it's them. And, you know, and sometimes I'll even get, when I'm working on a horse or something, all of a sudden my neck will hurt. It mm-hmm. hasn't hurt for weeks, let's say, okay? And all of a sudden I get this specific pain right in a specific spot on my neck. I go, okay, they're showing me where it hurts. And the same thing with your pets. They could do the same thing. All of a sudden, oh my God, that pain just came on from nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then it goes away. If it comes on quickly and goes away quickly, it's usually them trying to show you something. It's not you.
Oh,
it's
wow.
them.
Well, that's amazing. I love talking to you, Karen, because I learned so much. And it's just this topic. I mean, all your topics are fascinating. I love energy work. So I really love this stuff. And I really appreciate that you're on. And I wish I had an hour-long show because, unfortunately, we're out of time. But I wanted to know if you'd be willing to share your email with anyone if they have any questions.
I'm sorry, Celia?
Would you be willing to share your contact information in case anyone would like to reach out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can be reached at email is the number 2, Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, Gal, G-A-L, at ReikiGal.com. And my cell phone number, I don't know if you want me to give my cell phone number, but...
If you'd like to, you can.
Pardon?
If you'd like to, you're welcome to it.
Yeah. People can contact me. I work on an appointment basis, but my number is 949-525-2488.
Perfect. Karen, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Heritage Radio Network. I'll be back in September with even more fun episodes of Animal Instinct, so I will see you guys then. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.